This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
In the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Draven Fine, no Cam, but intern Ryan is here, so we'll be fine. Wait, I can't rhyme fine with fine.
Damn it.
You can't.
Restart the
intro. That's a good try, though.
Restart the intro. Try that again. Okay. How are you today, Draven?
Can't complain. Good day to have a good day, you know.
Got some breaking news right off the rip.
Wow, right off the rip, huh?
Right off the rip, some Tennessee basketball breaking news. Ooh. Not a huge, huge secret. It's something that's been talked about before, but Tennessee adds one more player to the class of 2021 as Hanjay Tamba, the 7-footer that has been playing at Knoxville Catholic. He has officially committed to the Vols and will reclassify into the class of 2021.
This is a Bears boy, right?
This is Bears boy.
Am I crazy saying he thought he's going to be a lottery pick? Was that a conversation at one point?
Yeah, but maybe it was a first-round pick and not a lottery pick, but one of the two. He did call him a first-rounder. So he is skipping his senior year of high school and says he wants to, quote, just go ahead, move on, and get ready. He will join Tennessee this upcoming season. So,
how's he able to skip that year?
I'm sure there's something with prep school.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen some guys. I don't even know if it has to be prep school, actually. Like, with him, I'm not sure, but, you know, you've seen guys skip their last year of high school in basketball a lot and, you know, go ahead and get there. Who was the point guard from Kentucky this year? He was, you know, one of the high-profile guys to do it. He was, I believe he just transferred back to the West Coast, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
I can't either. He was someone who struggled all year, though, basically, and Calipari. He's not very kind to.
Scoot Henderson?
No, that doesn't sound right. That sounds like someone who's actually, like, in this upcoming class, I believe. It was I want to say Axley or Ashley. I don't know. Either way, it happens in basketball where guys will skip and, you know, can be like, you know, basically 3 years, should be in their senior year of high school and playing football. If you have the credits to graduate, you can do it. Hanjay Tamba says he's going to do it. He chose Tennessee over offers from Auburn and Georgetown. So, you know, Auburn, beating them head-to-head recruiting is always nice. Georgetown, I mean, Patrick Ewing's still there, so I mean, I guess it would be appealing to some big men to want to go play.
Still there?
Yeah, he made the tournament. He won the Big East last year.
Yeah.
You can't forget about
that.
The Big East.
Forgot.
Now I don't know how much I anticipate this guy getting playing time this year. Like,
no, I mean, he's a complete project, right? I mean, we're talking like 2 or 3 years before he maybe even sees his court,
right? I wouldn't be surprised if it was a situation where you even redshirt this guy this year, and instead of using your senior year of eligibility in high school, you just basically learn and get some college weight on you. Go to Rick Barnes' fat camp. I mean, he's not fat, but, you know, go to his weight training camp, put some muscle on him. He has done a good job of helping morph some bodies over the years. This is another one of the Bobby Mays elite guys. Played on Bobby Mays' elite AAU team. Teammates with, obviously, at Catholic with B.J. Edwards.
Right.
They were thought at one point to kind of be a package deal. I don't know if that was ended up being the case or not, like if Edwards would have came here had his boy not been coming with him or vice versa, but they're both here. Tennessee, you know, keeps two guys in their backyard.
Feels
Edwards,
good.
Edwards, of course, a top, you know, 100-ish player.
99 currently on the national ranking.
For?
247.
For B.J. Edwards?
B.J., yeah, absolutely.
Tamba, not the same, but he is a 3-star and he is a 7-footer. So I told you he had offers from Auburn and Georgetown. So, I mean, he's a legit Power 5, big-time college basketball prospect. He's in your backyard. He's 7 foot. So, you know, Barnes really looked around and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to make sure I got some size on my rosters moving forward. He got tired of watching John Fulkerson play center, of Uros running around. Yeah. I mean, I know Uros is a big guy, but he made sure to have some, a lot of them. You know, he's recruited a lot of 7-footers,
well,
a lot
man,
of 6-foot 11 guys.
That's what he said, too, right? Didn't he kind of say the post game? We need more of a post game going into next year, basically.
So he's
going
to make sure to at least have some options. Going to make sure he has some options down there. So that is the breaking news right off the rip. I'm sure we'll dive back into that at some point as we you know, come in here on this Tuesday, July 27th. Draven, you said you're good?
Yeah. Like I said, good day to have a good day, John. Feeling good today.
That is true. It is a good day to have a good day.
Positive energy today. Let's go. Watched some Olympics last night. Finally actually caught up on a little bit of Olympics.
I warned you about your girl, Reagan Smith. I warned
you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I huffed her up.
Did you see there's a new Olympic record?
Yes, I saw, okay. Yeah. My winners and losers list was pretty bad yesterday, okay, to say the least. Pretty bad. But I will say the, was it Lydia Jacoby from Alaska? I saw that. That was cool. Did you see the 17-year-old?
Really cool.
Yeah, how about that?
That was really cool watching her 17 years old from Alaska. They're like, hey, there's only one 50-meter pool in the whole state of Alaska.
Does anybody want to explain that to me? How she's so good?
They say she, like, even now when she's training, that she doesn't even train on, like, meters. She trains with yards. She doesn't even have a 25-meter pool now that she trains on. She just swims fast in 25 yards, which does seem surprising because, you know, you do kind of – you would feel like you need to time that out, and she did time it out perfectly if you watched her – you know, she was doing, the breaststroke? Is that right?
Yes, yep, mm-hmm. Breaststroke, yeah.
And her very last push was perfectly timed at the wall, and that was kind of why she won. So, like – it is wild that she practices in a pool that isn't even, you know, Olympic sized or close to it. So that was a cool story.
Like I love the watch party too. Alaska. Everybody, probably the whole state of Alaska, I feel like was watching that event.
I liked that the announcers also asked her mom, like, "What the hell are you doing? Put the camera down. What are you doing?" They pointed out that her mom was glued to her iPad filming it. Like, "Hey, it's on TV. It's fine. We got it. Just enjoy the moment."
I don't know. I don't blame her for that, wanting to really capture the moment that she was actually there. I think that's a little different than watching the replay on TV.
It doesn't look good on TV whenever you're standing there with a screen in your face, though, and in your face. Like, your reaction isn't on TV. Can you not have – is there not somebody around you could have hold that up? Or I don't know. I thought it was funny, though. Like, it was – yeah, just watch the daughter. Cheer for the daughter. What are we doing?
We got to record everything, John. We got to document everything.
What else do we have? We had, I guess we did have some big Olympic news with Simone Biles pulling out of the team gymnastics.
Yeah. Kind of out of the blue.
Now feels a little icky whenever you're seeing all of her quotes. Basically, just like she seems like she hates her life.
Just, like I said, kind of out of nowhere, right? Or has she had quotes previously kind of talking about this?
She has. I just don't know if we've paid attention to them. But like,
that's kind of what I was wondering.
People have pulled up quotes basically where they were asking her favorite part about the Olympics and favorite part of the, you know, doing what she does. And she was basically like, the free time. And like she was talking about looking forward to the Olympics, and there was a quote like, so that it'll be over. So like there is some, you know, she is the face of the sport. She has been going on now for what? I mean, 12 years? Or I guess would this be her ninth year, I guess, 2012? Is that when they broke on the scene?
I believe so, yeah.
And it wasn't even like a real injury, right? It's like she was afraid it was going to happen because of her head state.
I don't even know if it was I don't even think they ever claimed it was an injury. It was basically just all mental. She said that she would hurt the team if she was out there and wasn't performing well. And, you know, there were stories talking about how she talks about her feet and just how her ankles are, you know, kind of shot from.
I mean, she's probably been doing this since she's, 4 years old?
Yeah.
Like most, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like she's probably been doing this her whole entire life, so I don't really blame her, but.
Well, I mean,
it's just really weird timing.
Was it the 2012 team that she, you know, busted on the scene with? Was that it with Maroney and all them? Or was that 2008?
No way.
Surely that went when she'd have been 11, right? It'd have been 2012 when she'd have been, I guess.
Like, was like Sean Johnson, right? In 2008? Nastia Lukin and all them. I think that was before.
Okay, was she not on that
one?
Yeah,
I'm not seeing her name anywhere on the 2008.
Would she have been 2016, like I said, probably when she was 15?
Yeah, that would make sense.
So she's been carrying the sport for a long time and. You know, does have the pressure of being better than everyone and always trying to push the the envelope and do new things and, you know, just basically has to be perfect. So it is weird timing, but she had a bad first night. Like, she had a bad first night, and she basically went on Instagram and was like, yeah, sorry, I wasn't in a good place. I didn't perform well, and I don't feel well. So she said that's why she pulled out of the team event, to try to not bring the team down as they were already kind of trailing and losing.
You,
but
you think that is fair? Because, like, we mental health is important, obviously. We've talked about that before. But, like, at the same time, you know, you are the face of the sport, essentially. Like you said, like, you're going to have that added pressure. You're going to have those, you know, you have a little bit of mistake, it might get highlighted a little bit more than others. I wonder, like, I feel bad for her. I don't think she did anything wrong. But at the same time, I do think, like, this is kind of what comes with being the technical goat of the sport, right?
I would say she probably didn't even want to be on the team, honestly.
Well, that's another thing, too.
Yeah,
it's like, why go all the way out there if you knew that this could have been a possibility? Or you knew that you were kind of going through some things mentally. Like, you could have sat out of this. I don't think anybody would have necessarily blamed her, especially with COVID, everything else going on.
I mean,
like,
I disagree. You just asked about her being the face of the sport and if it's fair for her to pull out the team event. So if she had, like, pulled out the entire Olympics, I think people would have said, hey, go out there. You owe yourself to do it. And, like, I mean, it's her last years of her prime. So, like, this is our last opportunity. I'm kind of surprising that she is going to a third Olympics, that she is at a third Olympics. Did you see the story from the one woman who had just retired at like 45 from the gymnastics?
No.
She had
no.
There was some country, I'll see if I can pull it up, but she had basically retired. She was really good, retired, and then like her son had gotten sick like 20 years ago, so she came back to raise money just for him. And then, yeah, fast forward, like, it was her eighth Olympic Games where she was being a gymnast and walked off the mat for the last time. But
yeah.
Biles, you know, we'll see. She could still probably get her gold in her – I mean, she's probably still going gold in the individual vault. I mean, like, she'll probably still get gold in her individual events, but
– So this was just she left the team competition. She's still in everything else.
Yeah, she's still doing the solo stuff.
Okay.
Well, we don't know for sure if she is, right?
As of right now.
She said she was.
She said, okay. I didn't
she
know
said
she
she's staying and doing
not.
The – you know, she said she was going to do the individuals, and with Biles out, the ROC, which is kind of crazy that we, like – hey, Russia's cheating. Let's ban Russia, but we'll let them perform and still put the Russian flag on their jerseys. We just won't call them Russia. We'll call them ROC, even though everyone knows that means Russia, and they keep winning these golds. And they had one guy come back from a three-month Achilles tear, and you're like, how does he come back in 3 months from an Achilles tear? Are they still cheating? And it's just the whole thing. But either way, Biles out, and again, kind of opens up of like, yeah, this pressure kind of sucks, and I just want this to all be over with.
Is there a lot of pressure on her?
Yeah.
You think there is just because she's kind of what we're banking on in the Olympics? I guess the fall of the basketball team helps that too, just because, I don't know, I think we all know that she's like the GOAT. Like, we know she's the greatest of all time. So, like, I don't know if there's a lot of pressure. I feel like she doesn't have much to prove.
I don't think she has much to prove either, but I'd say she's striving for, you don't become who she is without striving for perfection and
kind of demanding that
from yourself. So, like, that is a, it's a situation where, if she loses, it's a big, big deal. It's kind of like Team USA basketball in that sense of, like, if she wins, we'll be like, oh, yeah, you're the best. We knew it. If you lose, like, oh, well, what happened?
It was also really cool to see her still, like, cheering on her teammates on the sidelines, like, kind of like how Trae Young was doing for the Hawks. Like, she was still there, even though she was clearly not in a good spot, still being able to be that rock for them.
So they ended up with, what, the silver?
Yeah.
They got the silver.
Came back to get it.
Yep. So couldn't catch the ROC. Hove, but they get the silver. The sports story of the day, are we going back to conference expansion as the Oklahoma and Texas, they have officially submitted their application. There's some stuff about how, you know, this isn't going to be the last two. There's some chances that the SEC global takeover is just beginning. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, Texas and Oklahoma make it official. They apply to be in the SEC. We have a Thursday vote coming from everyone in the SEC. It does seem as if people are expecting a 13-1 vote. Although, did you see Missouri's AD step down?
Yeah. I didn't really see the details behind that.
Missouri's AD stepped down. There haven't been details really released yet, and some are connecting the dots and saying that it's his way of voting no for this expansion.
I mean, he'd have to step down because of that.
Well, I mean, it's basically, I guess it'd be him saying he doesn't want in good conscience be attached to it. I don't know. That's just what I've seen some Missouri fans and writers saying Missouri, you know, took a lot of flack for leaving the Big 12 back in 2012, but it was a great move for them to get out ahead of this because they would be, you know, stuck now in the Big 12 that was dying. So they, you know, became a better brand by doing so, or at least a more well-paid brand. Who knows if they'd have had more success in the Big 12 or not, but, you know, went to a couple SEC championships, so they had that going for them at least.
It was back-to-back, right?
Yep. But now we have a vote coming. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday in terms of the TV money. I did see Clay Travis write and report that the SEC does have a deal in place with ESPN that basically every A-list team they bring in gets the full share of what the other teams have been guaranteed. So not like they're not taking the $3 billion and divvying it up among 15 instead of, or 16, I guess, instead of 14. They are adding to it the pot. So basically the $45 million a year or whatever it would be per team just gets added to the official tag. ESPN's like, yes, we will pay an extra $45 million for Texas and an extra $45 million for Oklahoma. That's worth it. I did see that Bruce Feldman, apparently on his podcast, was saying that the SEC is now locked in on trying to get Notre Dame.
Wow.
Ooh. Bring Notre Dame in.
The Irish, huh? Wow. Come on down.
So basically, the SEC can go out and add any A-lister without ESPN's approval. Like, they don't have to go back and go to the table and be like, hey, we need some money. We got this fish on the hook. ESPN's basically like, yeah, get as many people as you can, as long as they're good. And like I said, they have a list of people they are deeming A-listers. You know, Texas, Oklahoma fit that bill.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame obviously fits that bill. USC and Southern Cal, if you want to make the SEC just basically be the Southern Conference. Like, hey, yeah, we'll take some West Coast teams as well. You know, Ohio State, Michigan, of course, would be A-listers. Clemson, I would imagine. Florida State probably as well. So basically the SEC has a chance, and some are pushing behind the scenes to go to 20. Says, hey, this is not going to be, you know, basically like we're ahead of the curve right now. Let's stay ahead of the curve because people are going to be coming and these conferences are going to adjust. Let's try to lock in the biggest fish right now while we can because we have the only setup with our network that these teams can already know what kind of money they're getting guaranteed and locked in, and it's big, big money. The Big Ten can't do that. The Pac-12 obviously can't do that. The Big 12 kind of stuck where it's at. The ACC has no money. Yep. So the SEC, powered by ESPN and Disney, is basically like, yeah, come on in, the water's fine. We'll guarantee this money for you. Because it was, what, a $3 billion deal for 10 years? Is that right?
$3
billion. $3 billion right. Deal, yeah. For 10 years? Because it was basically, what, $300 million?
Yeah, $3 billion.
So right now that is that right? Was it $300 million? Would that be $300 million? $3 billion, $300 million? Is that the deal that they got?
Yes, we'll pay around $300 million annually.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're getting, so is that right? Is it only $21 million per school? That doesn't seem right from the TV deal.
Seems a little low.
Yeah.
I guess that would be checked out, right? $300 million. I guess that's per year.
$3 billion over 10 years for the package.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the more teams you get, you just get a good discount, it seems like.
Well, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, every school gets paid the same, which, you know, that would lead to some people being like, okay, let's look around now to who's not pulling their weight. Vanderbilt, what are you doing here exactly? What are
I was going to ask about that. Like, would the SEC consider that? Like, you're going to have all these powerhouses and then three or four bottom feeders? Like,
I think I saw that there hasn't really been a school kicked out of a conference in a decade whenever I think Temple got asked to leave. Maybe I think it was Temple that got asked to leave the Big East, maybe.
So it would take – it'd be a little bit of a process, I would say.
Yeah, there
would
have to be some grounds for dismissal. Like, well, it can't just be,
but
like,
it's like,
financial,
if you do this,
right?
And you got Vandy going 0-12 every year because they're playing powerhouses, like, I don't think anybody wants that. The whole point of this is to have all the big dogs versus all the big dogs, right? I mean, that's kind of the whole objective.
Well, that's what some are thinking, you know. But, you know, they're not – I haven't seen a lot of talk of them, like, processing the small dogs.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of talk of that. Like, hey, you were with us, you're kind of with us, and you're getting this money, and you're good to go. Now, who knows what happens 20 years from now if, you know, there's just a complete different set of conferences with people, you know, guys getting voted off the island, relegation, promotion. Who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? But right now, it is reported that ESPN has guaranteed the SEC their cut of money for every addition that they deem as A-list. So go ahead and add as many people as possible.
That sounds like a bloodbath, man, because like every team, because as soon as another team joins, like a Clemson or like you said, Notre Dame, like everybody's going to want to get in, right? Like that's your pretty much your only hope. I mean, to have a shot at playoffs, have the big money deals, all that. So like Pac-12, I mean, the rest of the Big 12, all these other teams, they're going to still try to jump in too. Like how are you going to sort through this, who makes the cut and who doesn't? Because you obviously can't have 50 teams in one conference, that would be a mess.
Well, it's what we talked about yesterday in terms of, you know, there's going to be a race now. It's an arms race. If you're the Big Ten, you know, the Big Ten also after Notre Dame. The Big Ten also trying to lure Notre Dame. They're like, hey, now's the time for you to come here. Obviously, you know, the ACC has been working with Notre Dame for a while. They want to be a part of that. Like, Notre Dame's probably the next biggest free agent that looks like they could be poached because, you know, they're just the one right now not in a conference that has kind of dabbled at wanting to join a conference, although I don't know what their deal is. What's Notre Dame's deal with NBC? Can you get that number for me, how much money they're getting paid annually? Because if I'm Notre Dame, like, hey, I'm good over here. I'm getting this NBC money. But if you're the Pac-12, like, you're trying to get some Big 12 teams. If you're the Big 12, you're trying to absorb as many Pac-12 and teams you could pluck away from the Big 10. Like, hey, Nebraska, come here. Hey, Iowa, come here. Or, you know, whomever.
Looks like they're getting about $15 million annually
NBC. So NBC either has to up the money or, you know, they could make more money by going to the SEC. And that doesn't even count, or does it count, I guess, was that deal just for football, Draven?
For Notre Dame?
No, for the SEC and ESPN.
Let's see. It does say the deal is centered around the top tier SEC football package.
Okay, so I don't know if there's more money coming for basketball later.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But, okay, so.
It does say some non-conference football, men's basketball games will be shifted to ESPN as well. So I guess they are kind of including some basketball. I guess the main focus is football.
But now there's talk that this could come before 2025 and that basically Texas and Oklahoma could basically have their way paid for by ESPN because ESPN still owes approximately $160 million to Texas for the Longhorn Network, which is has been a failure. That's been a pretty bad investment by ESPN. But basically, they could take that money and just say, hey, we're going to kind of scrap this Longhorn Network, and we're just going to pay this out and get you guys in here, and we're going to make some real money together. Let's do that.
So it's not going to go to 2025.
No.
At this point, there's pretty much – it's less likely to go to 2025.
Like I said yesterday, I think my over-under would be 2023. 2 years. I would imagine that the SEC has Oklahoma and Texas in it by 2023.
Yeah, Brett McMurphy said – they're trying to shoot for next year, or 2022, essentially.
That's what Brett McMurphy said?
Yeah, he said to get them in the league as early as 2022.
Well, look, when there's this much money at stake, and, like, yeah, just think of it like coaching buyouts, basically. Yeah, you got to pay this coach's buyout, but when you make the right hire, you're going to make this money back type of thing. Mm-hmm. This is essentially Texas and Oklahoma paying the Big 12, or ESPN paying their fee for them. And basically, like, yeah, we're gonna make tenfold back. Like, this is gonna be ginormous. There's no sense in wasting 4 years here. You're gonna make all this money back. You're gonna get a bigger share here. You're gonna get more money here. It'll pay for itself. Let's just go ahead and make this happen. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Big 12, you're like, oh damn it, we gotta really scramble because this is going to, we're gonna be insignificant if they do get out of here early, and we are stuck with eight teams. Although, what I read yesterday is that there's kind of right now still grandfathered in as a Power Five for the next couple years, even if those two teams leave. A lot of talk, though. A lot of talk, basically about this, again, ending before 2025 and ending as quickly as you said next year. I hadn't seen Brett McMurphy say that, but.
Yeah, he said, now that Oklahoma and Texas formally sought membership to the SEC, schools will vote. To quote the great Warren Zavin, SEC will now send their lawyers, guns, and money to get them in the league as early as 2022.
Okay.
Kind of crazy. How do you think this is going to affect the playoffs? How do you think they're going to – because, I mean, they're in the middle of changing that whole entire format. How is this going to affect that?
Say that one more time.
The college football playoffs. How do you think this whole potential super conference – with, 20 teams, how's it going to affect the playoffs?
Does it even matter?
say it kind of matters, yeah, because there's going to be – somebody's going to get left out. You're going to have some decent team get left out of this. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Ohio State. Maybe it's a lesser team. And they're going to be going undefeated because they're not playing any of these good teams anymore. You're going to have Wisconsin going undefeated in the Big Ten up there. Like, where do you put them in the rankings versus when you have six, seven teams in the SEC who are two or three losses, who are all really good, all beating up on each other?
Who owns the TV rights to the college football playoff?
ESPN.
Who's going to own the SEC Super Conference?
ESPN.
Who do you think is going to get the most favorable coverage all year long about you know, how tough the league is and how a three-loss SEC team is better than a one-loss Big Ten team?
ESPN.
I think the SEC schools are going to be perfectly fine with their
So you think pretty much you get left out, you're getting left for dead. That's essentially what you're saying, right?
I think you're going to be fighting a bias. I mean, I do think that is 100% accurate. I mean, like, there's already, you know, people worried about the West Coast bias, you know, against Pac-12 teams and Heisman contenders. That's a real thing. Was more kind of built around people not staying up late. But, I mean, like, just think about different sports, bro. Think about how much the NHL was hurt when ESPN was kind of like, we don't want to play with you anymore. It kind of became an insignificant sport. Now, I don't think they're going to be able to completely do that to the Big Ten because, you know, it's a big, you know, there's still big markets up there. You know, there's still New York. A lot of those guys are from, like, Big Ten schools. So, like, I don't think they're going to completely turn their back. But you're 100% going to see the narrative of college football turn to, like, wow, this conference is so much better and so much tougher than all these other conferences. They're going to ram it down your throat. It's the same way. I mean, people, you know, say that's the same reason that, you know, going back a little history lesson, the same thing people think of why Charles Woodson won the Heisman over Peyton. It's because ESPN had all the Big Ten stuff and constantly showed Charles Woodson and constantly played up his Heisman pose and all this stuff. Meanwhile, you know, Peyton wasn't on ESPN. They think the machine kind of got behind him and kind of helped get him that Heisman trophy. Many Tennessee fans will, you know, fight to the death on that one.
Right.
Do you see ESPN eventually getting more of these other conferences? Like, do you see them getting the Big Ten back? Yeah, they don't need it.
I would say Fox.
I
would say Fox keeps the Big Ten simply because they're going to have the money and, like, you know, they're going to have something.
I was going
to
say they need something. They need something on the noon kickoff.
Right. They're not going to be able to punt completely. So, like, I mean, if I'm ESPN, I don't need the Pac-12. No thanks, bro. Yeah. Like,
you think the Fox could get behind trying to build their own Super Conference? Kind of like I mentioned yesterday, where it'd be basically two different conferences where you have a North and a South kind of deal.
The AFC versus the NFC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, that 100%. Like, I'm sure Fox is thinking about that. Now, Fox,
I just don't know if they have the money or even, because, I mean, obviously SEC is a lot more prominent than the Big Ten, and if you lose, you know.
I mean, money-wise, it hasn't been that much more prominent, though. Like, the Big Ten had a better TV deal. Now, granted, like, the SEC was kind of getting shortchanged on their TV deal because they had locked in with, you know, CBS so long ago. Mm-hmm. And actually, from what I was reading on you know, what Clay Travis is writing, he reported that basically how the SEC and CBS butted heads in 2011 and 2012 over this very thing is kind of why they got so disgusted with CBS and went to ESPN. It was that basically CBS was like, thanks for bringing in Missouri and Texas A&M. You're not getting any more money. Like, it's going to be the same deal. So basically schools got less of a chunk, less of a piece of a pie. Whereas ESPN's like, oh, yeah, no, by all means, bring in these schools. This is perfect.
We'll throw as much money as we need.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bring it in. This sounds great. Thank you. So I don't think it's going to stop at 16. I really don't.
Is this going to be an effect for basketball as well? Like basketball's going to have a super conference?
Well, I mean, it'll be the same teams. I don't think they'll have, like, different teams, but I don't think they're going to grab, like, Big East teams.
I don't know if this was just, like, a football thing, though. Like,
oh, no, no. Texas and Oklahoma coming full-fledged, so there'll be a, you know, SEC team as well, which I'm glad they're not in there this year, which that's going to be a problem. I mean, Texas should be a better team. Our stats guy, Will Warren, informed me that Texas is number three right now in terms of the metrics for next year.
Wow.
Like, on the – it was either the Bart Torvik or the KenPom rankings. Like, they're supposed to be the third best team in the country next year, which Chris Beard completely turned over that roster and brought in a whole bunch of transfers and is a great coach. So, you know, the SEC is getting a new power in basketball as well, or at least one that looks like it's going to be a power.
This is just the postseason. I mean, football's going to be crazy. I feel like basketball's going to be crazy, too. What are you going to have? seven teams in the bubble are on the bubble in the SEC just because everybody's beating up on each other.
That's kind of what the Big Ten has every year, right? I mean, the Big Ten kind of gets eight or nine teams
Not to a crazy degree, I don't think. I mean,
I feel like if you went back and looked every year, you'd be surprised. I feel like they get eight to nine teams in pretty much every year. I mean, they had, like, what, seven teams in the top 25 at one point last year, I feel like. Like, they're a big-time basketball conference, and adding Oklahoma and Texas makes the SEC better. I mean, those are usual tournament teams. I don't think we're stopping at 16, though. Maybe in the, you know, immediate future. But don't be surprised if you see, you know, either some teams start getting really linked to the SEC. Or, you know, other conferences getting out ahead of it and, you know, grabbing them first.
If I'm Clemson, I'm jumping on this boat, man. Right? I mean, just really any big team from a weak conference. Like you said, USC in the Pac-12. Like, what are you gonna do in the Pac-12 staying out there?
Yeah. I mean, if you're USC, you can make more money playing in the SEC. If it's all about money. Now, you know, there's going to be there already is a lot of blowback here just in terms of this isn't what college athletics is supposed to be. This is, you know, ruining rivalries and all these things.
What did you have at Oklahoma State's AD coming out pissed off about this? Did you see what he said? Basically saying, we had a contract and you're breaking promises, all this, bashing Oklahoma, Texas.
Oklahoma State said that?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's because Oklahoma State has a real possibility of becoming completely useless in college.
Which is kind of crazy because they still feel like a somewhat big program still, right? I mean, that's kind of surprising that they not trying to jump on something either. Maybe they are, but
we'll continue the conversation after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. The segment's brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. 15% off your whole party. Your whole party. Book a whole lane. 8, 12 people. Boom. Promo code. Everyone gets it. KraftAxeThrowing.com. You talk about Oklahoma State's AD being mad about it. With good reason, because, I mean, the money is going to change for some of these schools. Like, hey, the SEC, the rich, going to get richer. These schools are going to have enough money to pay coaches, which, again, by the way, makes me very angry that we went bargain bin shopping again, knowing that there was a damn super conference, a super league coming right to our backyard. Seems really stupid that we still spent only $4 million to hire UCF's coach. No offense to Josh Heupel, but a little disrespect, I guess, but I don't mean it personally against him. It just seems like, hey, you kind of knew this might happen. You kind of knew all this money was coming in.
Are you surprised, John? Are you surprised that we're two steps behind? We're always two steps behind.
I was begging to realize, you know, for the Tennessee to realize, hey, we have a chance to be forward thinking here. The money is coming. Don't worry about it. Instead, we torpedoed our school to save $12 million and then gave it to Josh Heupel, which, again, no disrespect to Josh Heupel. You know, he's doing the best he can, I guess, but it just seemed really, really sad. But if I'm Oklahoma State, I am a little worried because, you know, every year Mike Gundy gets them for a raise, an extension. How much does he make? $5 million, $6 million?
A lot.
But, like, if this TV money dries up a little bit with no Texas and no Oklahoma in a couple years and they're on the hook for having to pay these coaches, like, all of a sudden it might not make sense for these schools to have to pay these coaches. As Caleb writes in, Gundy might start hitting you, too, with the U up text. But, I mean, like, for real, like, you might look and say, like, hey, I'm a coach now that used to be a Power 5, maybe the third best conference in the country. You know, the Big 12 might have been the third best football conference in the country behind the SEC and the Big 10. Now they're looking around, and they might not be a conference in a couple years. And Oklahoma State, you said, is still a big program. I think you need to reconsider that because Stillwater, Oklahoma doesn't move any type of needle. Oklahoma State doesn't have any type of rich history. And, like, they don't really have any rivalries that they can hang their hat on except Oklahoma. Like, Oklahoma State's relevance to me, Draven, is completely attached to Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is now gone.
Whew. I mean, they did just have, or they're going to have, the number one pick in the NBA this past year. They've had some good players on the football side of things as well.
I mean, yeah, sure, but, like, they haven't
been relevant. I feel like they've been a decent team, but, I mean, you're right. I don't think they're super prominent or anything like that, but, I mean.
Well, I don't think they can withstand, like, going, like, they're not going to be on people's list of, like, hey, let's get Oklahoma State.
No.
Like, they have a good potential of being left out, and, like, next thing you know, they're playing in the AAC and their rival is Houston. Like, that is a real, real possibility, and the AAC is apparently calling some of these Big 12 schools, like, hey, come to us. We're not coming to the Big 12. How about you come to us? Like, we have a better infrastructure than you have right now. Oklahoma State, come to us.
A lot of those teams would belong in the AAC as well.
I mean, Oklahoma State and Baylor in the AAC makes a lot of sense
TCU,
to me.
TCU, like, I think TCU would fit well.
Yeah, like, I mean, that seems perfectly reasonable. Mm-hmm. If I'm the AAC, I'd rather you come to us because we got, you know, some pretty good – we got some schools in some pretty big old cities like UCF and Houston, probably two of the most, you know, the biggest universities in the country, I would imagine. I know UCF was back and forth with number one and number two, and Houston is – I mean, is Houston not the most – I guess the second most popular college, like, in a major city behind, like, USC, maybe UCLA, I guess, or the third. But, like, there ain't no school in New York that does athletics.
Nope.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, again, has USC and UCLA. But then you have Houston. I mean, Houston's what, the fourth biggest city? Is that right? Is it the fourth biggest city in the country? Like, I mean, Chicago's bigger, but Chicago doesn't have anything. Northwestern is, like, outside of Chicago. And Notre Dame's outside of Chicago. Yeah. But, like, there's not, like, a school in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, and, like, Miami. Like,
I don't think Miami's in the top
big. Right?
Yeah, I was gonna say Miami is a party city and it's a big city, but it's not anywhere near the top five, I don't think. Although I guess what number five is that Dallas? Is that I don't know what the fifth biggest city in the country is. But point being, if I'm Houston and I'm Orlando and I'm UCF, I'm like, no, we're good. We're gonna stay right here. Let's stay right here.
Houston, it says on this the fourth biggest city.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, behind Chicago, LA.
And this was from 2019, so.
Yeah, right behind the three I mentioned.
Yep. Pretty much.
Then you add Memphis in there. It's like Memphis, Orlando, and Houston. I'm like, no, we got better cities here than than anybody in the Big 12 has right now. I mean, when you move out of Austin, who else you got? Ames, Iowa? No thanks.
But does it even really, like, matter what these other teams do? It's going to be like minor league and major league football at that point. I mean, these teams are going to be looked at as like minor league teams. Nobody's going to even watch a single like Houston, Oklahoma State game if that, you know, if the AAC did in fact bring some of these teams in. Like, I just think it's so irrelevant where these teams go or what happens. Just stay in the Big 12. Like, what's it matter? Nobody's going to be watching them anyways.
Well, I mean, because the Big 12 might all the way dissolve.
Well, fine, that's fair. But
like, if you're Oklahoma State, I guess you would rather like go to the AAC before it fills up. Like, if you're, or I mean, you could obviously, you know, some of those schools could end up in the Pac-12. And maybe that makes more sense for Oklahoma State, just go to the Pac-12, whatever. But, like, I understand why the AD is mad there, because they have a real risk of becoming irrelevant. And, you know, like Draven pointed out, they've been pretty relevant the last decade. You know, basically, the last decade has been their best decade of football.
I mean, what, didn't they finish, like, third one year in the BCS rankings?
Like,
couple years before the playoffs?
I believe that's correct. I would have said, like, 11 or 12, maybe. Or maybe that's not right, but, like,
been
somewhere
Brandon
around
Whedon,
then.
Right? I want to say Whedon maybe on that team.
Uh-huh.
Either way, like, you know, Cade Cunningham, they have been somewhat relevant. I wouldn't say they've been completely. They've been the third most relevant team in the Big 12. They're now the most relevant team in the Big 12.
But still, I do think it's tied to – I do think it's tied to, like, a lot of Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah.
They finished number three in the country in 2011.
Okay.
Won the Fiesta Bowl, went 12-1.
Are they still going to get that marquee game against Oklahoma, though? Are they going to keep the rivalries alive?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. If I'm Oklahoma, like, it might behoove me. I don't know how much the hatred is there, like, Texas and Texas A&M. Like, because those guys are like, no, we're not playing. We don't want to play. Now they're going to get forced to play again. Like, maybe Oklahoma says, hey, the state wants it, kind of like Georgia Tech. But if I'm Oklahoma, I don't know what good it does me to play them. We're the big brand here. Yeah. We're kind of above Oklahoma State. It'll be kind of the thing of, like, when we play it's kind of a common theme, you know, with the Olympic favorites. But, like, it doesn't do us much to beat Oklahoma State, but it looks really bad if we lose. So, nah, we're good. I'm not going to play that one. I'm all right. Not going to do that. So some of these other schools run a real risk of, like, the math not making sense anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there'll be enough for the big schools to end up somewhere. But I do think it should be a race, and I do think it is a race right now, to be the schools to go first.
And a lot of teams are going to get left out.
That's why I think you saw the first report that Kansas was like, hey, we need to go ahead and try to lock something in ASAP, because I don't know if you realize, but we're kind of an embarrassment in football. Like, not only do we suck, but we also got, like, Les Miles and all this, like, rape culture and, like, just basically being a sleazeball, and, like, we got a lot of cheating stuff going on. Let's try to find somewhere for our basketball program to go ASAP. Now, I do think that brand is big enough where they wouldn't get left out. But I do think there's a reason. They're like, hey, let's go ahead and try to get the most money in the best spot we can right now. Because we have the, you know, really they have the best thing to offer of anybody in the Big 12 remaining. Like, once Texas and Oklahoma's gone, Kansas basketball is the biggest draw of any of the remaining teams.
Yep.
But all of a sudden, some of those coaching salaries, again, looking at, I think Matt Campbell and Iowa State's got to be looking like, ah, man, this $7 million we're paying you. Ah, man, that was whenever we thought Texas and Oklahoma was going to be here.
Can we get that back, maybe? Or,
and he's like, oh, well, I guess I can go to the NFL if I need to, as long as we still have a good year. I haven't completely ruined my standing.
But talking just past money-wise, I mean, what are the expectations for you guys with Oklahoma and Texas playing in the SEC? I feel like we haven't talked about that enough. Like, I mean, do you guys think they're going to be pretty successful? Like, or do you think Oklahoma's going to really start to go downhill? Because, like, as we know, I mean, Texas is not in a great spot right now.
I would say it's more likely Oklahoma becomes a power, like, even better than it does that they, like, fall off.
Why's that?
Just because, like, they have a great coach and a really good history, and, like, they've been a really good team the last decade, but now they're going to have the SEC stamp behind it.
I mean, you could say that, but also it's a lot more difficult schedule. You're not playing, yeah. You're not beating up on Kansas. You're playing at least Arkansas, best teams that are could give you a little bit of a run for your money.
I mean,
other than obviously the bigger schools like LSU and Florida and Alabama and all these other teams, but just saying, the bottom of the Big 12 to the SEC is not even obviously close.
Sure, yeah. But like Oklahoma's a legitimate program. They're a top five program. Like, I don't think they're all of a sudden going to get here and like fall apart. I think they would stay where they're, you know, let's assume there's, like, still 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd still think they're a 10-2 team basically every year. Now, a lot of that depends on, like, who they're playing every year.
Right.
Are you just dropping them in the SEC West? Are they getting to sprinkle in, like, the pod system? What's that look like? Like, sure, if you make them run the SEC West gauntlet every year and they have to play 7 games against, you know, Alabama, LSU, and, you know, Texas A&M, like, I feel like Oklahoma would still win all those games besides Alabama and, like, depending what LSU looks like.
Oklahoma always has, like, a blunder, though, during the season where they lose to somebody they shouldn't. They did that, like, what, at least once every past 4 or 5 years? That's, like, what Lincoln Riley does. I mean, they lost to Kansas State last year.
So,
like,
maybe 9-3. I mean, I don't know. I still think they'll be really good, and I think it's maybe more likely that they get there and just, you know, all of a sudden get better players recruited.
Well, I mean, would you say that they'd be more likely to, like, make the playoffs in the SEC than they would be in the Big 12, where they go, you know?
I mean, again, in a 12-team playoff, I think it'd be the same. I'd say it'd be more likely in a 12-team playoff because, you know, it's expanding. Like,
there's going to be, what, 8 SEC teams out of those 12 teams? Legit. Probably, maybe not, maybe more.
Like, I'd say every year you can set the over-under at 5.5 or 6. Like, I think it'll be, you know, basically a half the SEC field, especially, like I said, when it expands and you have the ESPN machine behind it helping promote it. I'd say that seems pretty likely. Pretty likely. Good or bad for the sport? Or is it the same? Because, I mean, I've seen a lot of talk about the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. Like, has that not already kind of been what we've been saying about NCAA football? So is this any different?
Doesn't really feel like it's going to be any different. Like, we don't really...
Yeah.
Better games. I mean, essentially, I feel like the only key difference here. Maybe better teams, you give Alabama a little bit, you know, a little bit less of a shot at just come completely dominating every year, right? Maybe Oklahoma gives them a little run for their money. Maybe if Clemson comes in, you get, you know, Clemson and Alabama kind of going head-to-head a little bit. It might cause a little bit more, I don't know, newer teams in there. You never know.
I think Oklahoma and Texas will swim. Like, I don't really know how to project Texas because they have been pretty dormant in the Big 12, and not even acting like they've been bad, but they've been basically an 8-9-win team.
They've been bad for their expectations.
Sure.
For Texas football, they've been bad.
And in the Big 12, sure. But I just don't want to act like they're a pitiful program. Like, they've still had, like, a pulse. I mean, they won a Sugar Bowl, like, what, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, they haven't been completely useless. But I don't know how they're going to look with Sarkisian. Like, Sarkisian might be really good. He might be a train wreck. I don't know. Maybe Sarkisian won't be the guy that gets them back to where they need to be. But, I mean, I think Texas, again, you think it's easier or harder to recruit right now if you're Texas with this move? Like, hey, we're going to the SEC. We're going to do this big, exciting thing, and you're going to be the talk of college football.
Probably easier. Yeah.
Right. I mean, same for Oklahoma. And I'd say same. I mean, I would say every school has kind of gotten a boost in the arm, except maybe like Arkansas and Missouri, who all of a sudden, like, you know, some of the Western recruits or the middle of the country Midwestern recruits are looking in, like, and now Texas and Oklahoma have what, they didn't have. Mm-hmm. Same for Texas A&M. You might be hurt there a little bit. Like, hey, Texas is now in your state, and if a kid just wants to play in the SEC, guess what? He ain't got to come to Texas A&M. He can go to Texas. He can go to Oklahoma. So, like, they might get hurt a little bit, but, you know, the excitement, the buzz around, I would say, is definitely helping Texas and Oklahoma. And I wouldn't say it's hurting schools like Florida and Tennessee and Georgia. I don't think it hurts them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you keep expanding, though, it's going to eventually hurt Tennessee when we're –
I was going to say
third or fourth worst team in the SEC, and when there's 20 teams, it's going to be really tough to come back from that.
Well, it's going to be tough for Tennessee to dig itself out of the hole regardless.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to make it easier when you're piling all these other really good teams on top of them too.
Like right now, Tennessee's recruits, the Tennessee's battles are typically going to be the same teams. Like, they don't really go head-to-head against Texas and Oklahoma too much. You know, they got to beat Florida
depending on the setup. I mean, we could end up in a – you know, like, what'd you call it? What are they calling it? Pods? The little four-team system?
Oh, yeah, but I just mean recruiting-wise. Like, I mean, the guys that Tennessee's going after to try to get better, you know, well, ideally, you know, with Heupel, it hasn't necessarily been that case, but ideally you're still going to be recruiting against Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Clemson, Ohio State. Like, those, Michigan, like, whenever Tennessee's gotten good recruits, that's who they've had to beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently it's been more of, like, the Memphis and Tulsas of the world, but still. So I don't know how much is going to change Tennessee's standing, recruiting wise. Now, again, if you're going 6-6 every year and lucky to finish, you know, even close to 500 in this conference, then yeah, ultimately you're just going to become an also ran. But is that any different than where we're looking at right now when we haven't been good for 15 years, except for, you know, 2 years basically?
Mm-hmm.
We're already fighting an uphill battle, you know, against Georgia, Florida, and Alabama every year. I don't think either Texas or Oklahoma will be on Tennessee's permanent schedule. Like, I'd be surprised if Tennessee had to play Oklahoma and Texas every year.
We're going to get paired with Alabama. Like, let's just go ahead and accept that,
it's
right?
Inevitable.
Well, if you listen to The Drive, some guys want to be paired with Alabama. They want to play Alabama every year.
Why?
Some of our some fans just love tradition, love history,
the pageantry.
And love
tradition. Get out of here. Oh, it's a rivalry. Well, it's not really a rivalry when you're getting your ass kicked every year. What are we talking about? Oh, tradition. We're completely changing the whole landscape of college football. I think traditions went out the window a long time ago when you have Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC.
Has it gone out the window? Should we just let it go completely out the window? Or is it maybe now more important than ever to preserve that? That's what some would say, is you're losing your way. Like, you got to protect. Kind of, you know, if you don't try to protect some of these rivalries, college football will kind of become meaningless and lose a lot of them, is what some people would say. Like, I wonder if Texas and Oklahoma is looking and like, hey, this is fun, we're going to the SEC, but, like, can we still play each other every year? Like, if you're a Texas and Oklahoma fan, do you still want to play each other every year? Because, I mean, that's been, you know, pretty important for their rivalry, you know, the Red River Shootout, or what they call it now.
It's one of the biggest rivalries in college football.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, you're leaving the Big 12, but is that one of your contingents? Like, hey, we still want to do this game every year? It's pretty fun. Or is it just kind of like, hey, do with us what you please. Let's just go out here and get this money.
Yeah, it's like a what you please, but they know that you'll make a ton of money in that game. So there's no way it's going to disappear.
But, like, do whatever you want, just don't put Alabama with us. Do whatever you want, just leave us without Alabama. We'll be okay.
That's what I'd say. Texas might also be saying, like, hey, we don't want to play A&M every year either. We don't want to be in their pod. But I don't know if the SEC, like, we don't even know if they're going to go pods. That's just what people are assuming.
We don't even know if the SEC is going to approve this, right?
No, they're going to approve it.
I mean, it's kind of official. It's not official, but it's pretty much official.
Everyone's saying 13-1 is what the vote's going to be.
I'm surprised A&M didn't vote against it. Aren't they kind of?
Well, they're the one.
They are the one.
Oh, I thought you said Missouri.
No, I said Missouri kind of gave a silent protest.
Gotcha.
AD stepping down. With good conscience, I cannot vote for this. Is what it seemed like to me he was saying. But
gotcha.
Maybe there's a health thing there. I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I haven't seen anything. But now the vote's coming on Thursday, and it's going to pass for sure. And then, like, yeah, I would like some clarity from Sankey on where we're headed. Pods, divisions.
He had a pretty broad statement, what, come out earlier today about the whole situation.
What did he say? I didn't even see it.
I think he's just pretty much like just acknowledging that Texas and Oklahoma sent their pretty much formal request to join the SEC. Yeah, and all that. Okay. I don't think he really said much about it, but
yeah.
Is that vote going to be so, you know, like 13 to 1? Is it because they actually want them in the SEC? Is it more of like impartial? They're like, sure.
You fall in line. Like, it's usually happens in sports. Like, you can have arguments behind the scenes, but ultimately you want to look unified and all vote in the same way, even if you're not. Like, even, like, if you ever watch, like, reality TV, it's the same way. Like, there'll be sides of the house, but, like, when they realize they don't have the numbers, they just vote in the majority way. That way they don't get singled out. Okay. That way they don't look like they're going against the machine. Yeah. That's kind of what's happening here. Hour one in the books. We kick off hour two of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.